Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Thank you so much. Fabulous producer Rob Center makes the right things sound at the right times, which makes it sound right. He's the fabulous. I'm telling you now, he does a super-duper job on Sunrise and a super-duper job on WKOK's On the Mark program. So we thank Rob Setter. Mr. Ben Reichle is with me. He is a salesperson, outside sales for one of the regional water infrastructure companies in there. It's an employee-owned business, so he's one of the hundreds of owners. He's a conservative, an American first. He happens to be a father and is a Republican committee person. And what else?
Co-host today.
Co-host. Okay, that's the hat you're wearing today. So we
actually marketing
that.
Manager. I don't want to. Oh. Don't want to downgrade our.
So you help with outreach and education.
Down with our outside salesmen who do a terrific job for our company. So,
how about it? Okay.
So they're those are the stars of the company as well as everyone from the top to the bottom. So but a special thumbs up to the folks that are out selling in all. Industries and right here at Sunbury Broadcasting, the salespeople that go out and make it happen, and
the saleswomen,
those people that go in and show companies and businesses how they can succeed in what their goals are and promoting their products and services. So for those outside salespeople, a thumbs up.
Yeah, amen to that.
Especially the 1099s. Those folks really put the pedal to the metal to make it happen.
1099, that means they're not employed by the company?
That means they're sort of outside commission.
Commission, okay.
The stuff that makes particularly realtors and some of those folks. But those salespeople, they're 1099s.
Okay.
That's the oil that makes the machine run.
All right. Well, fantastic. All right. Well, good information. Thank you so much, Ben. And just glad to have you on board. We got a caller standing by. We're going to keep talking today about anything you wish to. And all week long, what we wish to talk about has been the government shutdown, the need for the border wall, or the lack of need, depending upon your viewpoint on that. The president getting a little bit closer, I guess, to using an emergency status as reason to build the wall, so maybe you have some reaction to that. We also talked about the bad behavior of Mr. Donald J. Trump, not in terms of his decision-making, but in certain terms of some of his words and so on, but that was just a short topic this week. But we have open phones, so we can talk about anything that you want, and it seems like the federal budget will be our first conversation, and we're going to talk about that in one split second. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. So, show's open. Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565. Eric, the first caller of this Friday morning. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I just want to say and commend the president for his brilliant strategy. As of today, he now has, by not paying 800,000 federal workers, he has, by my estimation, probably about $1.5 billion for funding for that wall. Heck, folks, we don't pay these people for two more paydays. That's only a month away. He will have his $5 billion right there for that wall. Isn't that amazing?
Well, won't
however,
they get
if,
back
if we
pay?
Start having federal employees not show up for work, we may have a couple of nice guys up in Lewisburg just walk off there, and perhaps maybe we'll lose an airline or two falling out of the skies, or we'll have people lined up and missing flights because their TSA people are not showing up for work because they had to go get second jobs.
Won't the workers get back pay, so any savings now will be lost later when we do resolve this?
Oh, we'll make, don't worry, we'll get Mexico to pay for it.
The back pay, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure, Eric, you're including Senator Schumer and Speaker Pelosi in the mix, too.
The president, you know, has said he's the one who's doing this.
Yeah, on principle, but as we've seen with the negotiations, we see the Democrats aren't coming to the table to negotiate.
Who walked out of the negotiations a few days ago?
And these were the bipartisan group, people who spoke about bipartisanship and wanted to reinvent this after the George H.W. Bush funeral. So when you leave a negotiations, you're setting an example that the negotiations usually are not moving along, and it's what we've heard is, the Democrats have come with nothing, so it's hard to negotiate when you're negotiating with nothing.
But we will also admit, Ben, that by not paying these folks, we have more money in the federal budget. Now imagine how much money, what interest we're getting on that $1.2 billion. The folks will get back interest, back pay, but they're not going to get back interest. They're not going to get reimbursed for missing their mortgage payments. And yes, I think probably some local lenders here who are good folks will forgive some of this stuff, but there's no guarantee of that. There's no federal requirement for them to make these federal workers whole. And what about morale? What about morale? I went through this as a Commonwealth employee back in the 90s. I missed almost three paychecks. Trust me, morale was terrible at Sales Grove. And if you cannot trust your employer, how do you gain that back? How do you recruit good, competent people to come work for the federal government? Everyone thinks the federal government is just out there. Anyone who can't get another job, oh, we'll go work for the federal government. Then there's millions of people lining up to work for the federal government. That's not true, especially in the more technical jobs.
Well, I think
the jobs that we have locally here, which you risk your life every day you go into work.
Well, that's the segments when they talk about the levels of government, and unfortunately they've labeled people essential and non-essential. And if you're non-essential, what does that actually mean, and where does that fit in a job description? And what is needed in your job? So you know, that's a government policy that's gone on for how long now? Decades.
But rhetoric doesn't put food on the table, Ben. The people who work in Lewisburg and Allenwood are going without pay. They're essential, but they're still not getting paid. Correct? Doesn't matter. They're not getting paid. They have to show up for work every day. They have to stay mandatory overtime. If there's a declaration of emergency in the prison declared, everyone shows up and stays until that's over, and they're not getting paid.
Yeah, and
what's your argument for them?
And a 45
you can't eat rhetoric.
Well, in a 45-minute meeting can cure this. And if the Speaker and Senator Schumer want to come and negotiate, the President's been there. So, you know, we're seeing that what the Democrats are doing is holding these workers and without any discussion of what they want. They don't want money for a supposedly barrier wall that they've agreed to in the past that they would have funded, and they voted to fund it. So when you talk about the workers, look at what Pelosi and Schumer are doing to these workers.
Again, Ben, we all know the president's the one who declared this. It wasn't the Senate, the House of Representatives, which declared the non-pay. It was the president.
Do you find...
And you know, by definition of different branches of government, they can't do it. Only the president can start it or stop it.
So do you think that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have no responsibility in this?
I think they have a responsibility to the American people as a whole. Again, nobody wants to talk about the deficit. Come on, folks. $5 billion is $5,000 million. What could we do with that kind of money in other programs?
Which
the Republicans want to cut because we have too big a government.
Yeah,
a government. My goodness, now we're becoming the biggest construction project in how many years?
Okay, so this is the president's fault, and only the president's fault, and the Democrats have no culpability in the shutdown. Am I hearing that right?
Well, the president started it, the president can stop it, correct?
Okay.
And only he can stop it, correct?
Wow, okay.
That's not true at all.
Very, very tainted view, Eric, yeah. But I'm glad you have that viewpoint, and I really appreciate you talking about it. But clearly...
Viewpoints, I'm going to put food on the table. That's my concern about our workers.
Yeah.
And concern about this local valley. Imagine the financial impact on this valley with, you know, banks, local grocery stores. People are going to start dipping into, because we know significant amount of people work at Lewisburg and at Allenwood, and I'm not sure how many other federal jobs.
All right.
Well, but those two, they'll impact the local economy. What about that?
This isn't a government shutdown. This is a partial government shutdown with non-essential, what they're describing it. And if you want to look at the total budget and look at where $5.7 billion fit in it, you're going to be down below 0.5%. And it's always interesting when progressives and Democrats start to get fiscally responsible, and you go through the history of the lack of fiscal responsibility by Democrats, it doesn't show. So the hypocrisy sort of runs deep and wide here.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Eric. I really appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. We got our first caller of the week out of the way, or the Friday out of the way.
Right away, too.
Right. So appreciate more comers. Mr. Eric just called and said it's all on the president, and the Democrats aren't culpable for this shutdown. I'm as liberal as the next guy, but I'll tell you what, I clearly see this as a two-way impasse, but that's just me, Democrats versus the president. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love your response to my remark, plus Eric's, plus Dale's, who's on the mark. Good morning, sir. Who's at fault with this government shutdown?
I think it's a great, great situation. I don't really care about the wall, but it just shows with unemployment being so low and everybody paying more taxes, okay, our taxes are not going down because there's more subsidized jobs, which I think our police deserve more money. So if we privatize half of the federal workers, maybe, you know, our police will get paid and our volunteer firemen can probably get paid more. So I just think it's a great, great situation here where it exposes the size of our government, and Pennsylvania is the number one, almost number one state. It just keeps on making government bigger. So
I can't argue with that, Dale, but how do you set up a compensation of payment to volunteers?
How do you set it up? I don't think they should be volunteers. Fire.
Okay. Sorry. So you're saying they should be government officials.
Half of our federal workers.
No, I won't argue with you there. The first responders and the people who do that, you would hope that they would be, they would have the equipment and the necessary trainings, and they could be. But you're saying to privatize and create workers, government workers, out of the fire department and the first responders?
No, not privatize that. No. All the little small, I'm talking about probably 40% of our federal government workforce can be privatized, not counting the police and the fire department.
Okay.
So does your calculator work like mine? Okay, so unemployment is at the lowest rate possible, right? So everybody's paying more
it's
taxes.
Pretty low.
Okay. My calculator tells me that since everybody's paying more into the kitty, that everybody should be paying lower in taxes, but it's the opposite, Ben.
We are paying lower taxes based on the tax bill that was passed last year. So, you know, you saw where corporations' taxes went down to 25%, individual taxes went down.
It's not trickling. The whole effect is the trickle-down effect. And not trickling down because the smotherization of federal workers.
Well, there must be trickle-down because the revenues coming into the U.S. government is increased quite a bit. So if you look at
the
taxation percentages,
federal workers, Ben, you know that.
I don't think they're hiring under the Trump administration. They're not hiring that many federal workers.
States are hiring more.
Okay, if you want to talk about states, that's a little different animal. And I would agree with you, Dale. Pennsylvania,
what he's planted.
Yeah, but Pennsylvania is upside down, sideways, backwards on the way our state government is run and funded. And the multiple or quadruple amount of agencies that duplicate themselves seems to be strange. Look at workforce development. But Pennsylvania is, when you talk about the government, I'm trying to think of the gentleman, Mark, your buddy down in Gene, with the pig. Gene Lesbic or
Gene.
Anyway, you know, when he talks about the government pig, you know, Pennsylvania, the government is a hog, and you know,
yeah,
hogs
they got
get
all
slaughtered.
New revenues coming in, like marijuana, gambling, all like that. Okay,
so I agree. Vices are economic development. Yeah, but again,
I just think it's a stranglehold, really, on the private sector. It's totally a stranglehold, and the Democrats want it both ways. They want the big government, and they want us to pay for these immigrants coming in. So I think it's...
Can't disagree with you.
Yeah, I mean, we need to sit back and look at this situation, not as a wall, but as federal government. I think we need to look at it that way.
No,
too many government employees.
Yeah, no, Dale.
I think our police deserve way more money than they're making. I'm sorry. It's sick.
Are you saying the government employees deserve more money?
No, I think our police deserve more money.
Oh,
our
okay.
Police,
well.
And maybe our volunteer firemen, because 40% of the federal workers, I mean, that all can be privatized. I mean, 30 years ago, it was all privatized. But they're just trying to, you know... I don't know even whose plan is to make government bigger. It's just a losing situation.
Well, the government, you know, when you look at the two parties, the two main parties, the Democrats and the Republicans and Democrats, and then the others, when you look at government workers, you at the local, state, and federal level, you see large percentages support certain parties, and within the union or the government workers, you see those government workers supporting the Democrats.
Yeah.
So they're not usually
the
going to vote their jobs
the Democrats, out. But the Republicans are the ones making all these private sector jobs into government jobs. So you got to be careful, because the Democrats and Republicans are both the same.
Well, I'm not going to say the Republicans are complicit in some ways where they bumble and stumble around, and the Democrats
sort of... more government workers than the Democrats.
I don't see the government...
When you go up to the top tier, it's the opposite.
Yeah, but Dale, I don't see the percentages increasing under this administration. Under the Obama administration, you know, there was even decreases in certain years about federal employees, so that's a number. Yeah, we got to get a little research on that, because I don't see that. However, you do see the support in political elections, in the elections of certain segments, and particularly government workers seem to come out strongly for Democratic candidates.
Well, what's happening in California and New York is they're wiping out the middle class. Okay, so that's the recipe. Okay. Make government bigger, and we're going to wipe out the middle class. So you're going to either have the rich and the poor, and that's the recipe. I mean, there's no other recipe. Because look at California and New York; it's exactly what's happening nationally. So,
I think there's a unique
opportunity where we can all put our foot down and say we want to privatize 40% of these federal workers.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. Well, Dale, thanks for your call. Always some intriguing information that you bring out to us.
All right, we got you, Dale. Thank you so much. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, and that is a very specific number. It is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. We invite you to utilize that to contact our show now. We're talking about the government shutdown. One of our first callers says it is all on the president and not on the Democrats, and not everybody agrees with that, so maybe what's your viewpoint on this? Of course, the president's getting ready to use emergency declaration to try to, or at least is hinting that he's going to use that in order to use some unused Army Corps of Engineer money that's basically for flood mitigation projects to work on the wall. So that's upcoming. So that's something he's working on.
I think the border security is probably flood mitigation. It's the flooding of
illegals
coming through the country. So it's not just water.
Yep, we'll talk about that. We got open phones to talk about that, and the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line open. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line gives you an opportunity to shop at the Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35 in Mountain Pleasant Mills, Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg, Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in Northumberland, Danville Pharmacy on Mill Street in Danville, and Bloomsburg Medicine Shop up on Market Street in Bloomsburg and Lewisburg Pharmacy on 2nd Street in Bloomsburg. It is an opportunity for you to save a lot of money when you're buying the things you need anyway. And guess what happens when you buy locally? Every dollar spent locally gets spent locally 10 times over. You can support many entities, businesses, and individuals in your local community by supporting the local hometown pharmacies. They support local sports teams, charities, churches, fire companies, and so on. And guess what? They offer fantastic service to you. They super serve you. A lot of them have a no-wait policy, and many of them have the drug take-back boxes. Some of them deliver. So it's an opportunity for you to save money and just be taken well care of by a great local business. Hometown Pharmacy, toll-free line open, 1-800-795-9565. We've got some calls coming in. I've got one waiting. We'll be right back.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the brand new Hyundai you deserve with savings of over $7,000. Buy a $25,000 2018 Santa Fe for only $18,259. That's a savings of over $7,000. A 2018 Hyundai Elantra is discounted to an unbelievable $14,810. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has a 2018 Santa Fe Sport that was $34,890 and now only $28,840. Hyundai comes with America's best 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. No matter what size SUV you're looking for, Sunbury Motors has it. 2019 Hyundai Konas, only $23,210. 2019 Hyundai Tucson, only $26,110. 2019 Santa Fe's, only $26,775. And the 2019 Santa Fe XL starts under $30,000. Now is the time to get the new Hyundai you deserve. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
All right, we got callers waiting. Let's see, Ronald from Danville. Good morning, sir. You are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the time. I wanted to respond about the question of who's to blame. You know, I think whenever you have an impasse like this, both sides are, you know, hold some accountability and blame. But I do like where we're headed. I like the fact that, you know, this has worked out, and this will work out, and it won't be for free. And that, you know, we have a president who's going to take a stand and really make the government make a decision. And the reason both sides hold some blame here is it's become so inefficient and so partisan that they have to shut down the process and the government to try to get to a decision, which is a shame. But every country, you know, that I've been to has really been very defensive of their borders. And even when you take a flight domestically, you've got to prove you're a citizen with a license, with a driver's license or a passport. So I think we have a porous border. We need the wall. The United States isn't united or sovereign without it, without protecting our borders like other countries do. You know, a short example, I have a friend that was, you know, going to Alaska and had to pass through Canada. And because he had a prior DUI charge, they flew him. He had to fly to Alaska. They wouldn't even let him pass through the Canadian border because of something like this, even though he was a valid citizen. So there are, most other countries are far more protective of their borders like we should be, and I don't think democracy works without a process like this and the need to protect our borders. Thank you.
Ronald, can you like to ask you a quick question? So you had a friend who had a criminal problem, and they wouldn't let him into Canada to get to Alaska?
Correct. Yeah, he was, you know, moving to Alaska. He had one minor offense. It wasn't, you know, anything that demanded jail. It was a fine. It was a driving under the influence charge. And correct. His entry into Canada to drive there with his truck was denied because of that, and he had to fly into Alaska rather than pass through Canada. And that decision was made clearly, you know, by the Canadian authorities. It's, you don't hear this in other countries about, you know, ships of people, you know, going over the sea or over the border into Canada, because they're far more protective of their border. And we're asking for a simple wall to support the process. And I think it'll happen, you know, whether it happens by national emergency or not. I think it's important that we do protect our borders.
All right. Thank you, Ronald. Thanks for calling in. Yep. Really, really appreciate it. Tom, you got a minute, and then we'll have to do the rest of your call after the top of the hour.
Well, the Republicans can end this thing real quick. All they have to do is override Trump's veto. Take two-thirds vote to override his veto. That's all they have to do. There's already, from what I've heard, there's already 9 Republicans speaking out against this shutdown. So let's override the veto and let's get this thing done.
Well, nine senators is not enough to override the veto.
Well, but let's have a vote. Let's have a vote. McConnell won't have a vote. Let's have a vote.
I haven't seen.
And see if they want to override it. See how many people want to do it. Let's have a vote.
I haven't seen nine. Are you talking about 9 U.S. senators saying that? I've
9 Republican U.S. senators that they have that have so far are speaking out against the shutdown. 9 of them. And all they have to do is have a vote. McConnell should open it up and have a vote, and let's see if they want to override it or not. They either do or they don't. Very simple.
Well, why would the senators want to override, why would they want to override a veto? To override a veto, you have to have the president sign something.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Yes, the reason that you have a veto is to override the president.
Well, yeah, right. But he has to veto it first.
Tom, you want to stand by, call back, or hang up in anger?
Right.
I guess that's hang up in anger. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, though. Appreciate that. We'll continue with open phones, and we want to hear all sides of this important issue when we return. And we got some emails to read on this topic as well. This is WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichley.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. We're right in the middle of a vibrant discussion. We got 4 emails pending and 2 texts, so we'll read those on the radio. We got open phones. We're talking about the impasse between the president and Democrats, the border wall, the government shutdown, and President Donald Trump's bad behavior. All right, so maybe that's my summary of that.
What exactly is his bad behavior?
His tweets and his words his demeanor and his actions and his, oh my gosh, hundreds of things. It's going to take me all weekend now to list them all.
Wow.
All right. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is now wide open. All 4 lines are open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome throughout our show to email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you can text us at 70236 for a Text Connect member. Just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, text us at 70236, including the message, the word WKOK, and the space, and then your message. But the easiest way to do this would be to just sign up for WKOK Text Connect. Go to WKOK.com and sign up, and we send you maybe a dozen at the most messages a month of important breaking news, national news, dead celebrities, closed roads, tornadic weather, you name it. That's the kind of thing. But it's always information you can use, and it always has a link to take you on your smartphone right to WKOK.com, where you can find the rest of the details about an important event or activity. In the news, Snyder County DA Mike Pietsu has announced he's seeking a third term as the county's top prosecutor. He says every day is a privilege to serve as DA and loves keeping Snyder County a safe place to work, live, and raise a family. Pietsu has aggressively prosecuted drug traffickers and has been a strong advocate of the county's drug and DUI treatment court programs. Pietsu says addressing youth issues would remain a top priority for him if elected again. Prior to being appointed DA in February of 2010, Pietsu served as the Philadelphia DA's in the DA's office and the Pennsylvania State Attorney General's office. He was previously the executive director of the PA District Attorneys Association and currently serves on its executive committee. He's active in a wide range of activities
local. I believe Mike was the president or executive director of the District Attorney's State Association in Pennsylvania for a number of years. So he not originally from the area, but brought the outside expertise to the area, and of course ran for DA in Snyder County and won.
And who did he replace? Jack Robinson was one of them.
Yeah.
Who's another DA? The woman whose name escapes me. Oh, I can't think of it now.
Reed.
Yeah, Barbara Reed. Okay, one more in years past. All right, you work on that while I read some more news. A man with
Perry Mason?
that's too far back. All right, a man with an arrest warrant from Virginia is now in custody in Snyder County after being caught by Shamokin Dam police and spotted by an eagle-eyed individual who saw a drug syringe fall out of his vehicle. 28-year-old Robert Perez Ayres Rosari was arrested, had a loaded handgun, a drug syringe, a wax bag commonly used for heroin, six bags of heroin. An arrest warrant for him out of Virginia also existed for illegally owning that firearm. He also had a suspended license, a vehicle registration, plus the pièce de résistance is he had two children not in child safety seats. There's the real
violation. Sounds like a checklist. You just mark off all the things you just don't want to have in a vehicle illegally.
But, yeah, otherwise. But he used his turn signal safely, so that's the good side. He now faces several charges and is in the Snyder County Prison, $50,000 bail. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf believes no one should have a semi-automatic firearm just one day after a gun rights rally in Pittsburgh that attracted hundreds of gun owners protesting the city's proposed assault weapons ban. The Democratic governor voiced his support for a complete ban on all semi-automatics. When asked by KDKA whether the state of Pennsylvania should restrict or eliminate semi-automatics, Governor Wolf responded, "I think they should. I support that. Those are the weapons that killed those innocent people at Squirrel Hill and have done so much damage in schools and in places around our country. We wouldn't have those guns. We shouldn't have those guns," said the governor. Wolf incorporates all semi-automatic firearms in his answer to the question. The Squirrel Hill murderer used handguns and a rifle. He walked back his stance, though, later in the day in a tweet and mentioned only semi-automatic rifles as something and he would like to see banned in Pennsylvania.
And you're somewhat of a gun expert. I know we have some
just
listeners
a fan
who are.
Of them.
But is there actually a definition? Is semi-automatic a real description of
a
gun?
Is.
Because you these terms get thrown out there, and they're,
well,
there is or isn't. I mean, automatic, we know what that is. Semi-automatic is exactly
one pull, one round. One pull, one round. One pull.
But isn't then automatic one pull, one round?
No, automatic fires as many rounds as the gun can tolerate.
It can hold, but if it only holds one round.
Well, then I guess if you have a single shot gun, well, it's not automatic. It's just a manual.
Yeah, but
one
but that
pull.
Term and these terms of describing guns sometimes are not right. Or
well, yeah,
or,
some people say automatic.
Yeah, because when you say semi-automatic, exactly what's the semi?
The fact that I don't know what the semi actually indicates, but it's one pull, one round. Mm-hmm. But you can pull the trigger pretty darn fast, and if you have a lot of rounds, then you can do a lot of shooting with that.
But obviously, some people needed bump stocks to make it.
Well, then that sort of creates a sort of automatic gun by pulling the trigger even faster than you can, using a mechanical method to pull that.
But Governor Wolf got caught here not understanding what weapons were
used. Oh, no, he knows what he's talking about.
No, at the Squirrel Hill, at the killing, it wasn't. It was rifles and handguns.
Right, both. But he's talking about just rifles, although he said all semi-automatic guns in the interview. Mm-hmm. He later said that he really only means semi-automatic rifles should be banned, which is bad enough. You shouldn't ban them anyway, so that's just another topic. We invite individuals to comment on all of these topics. We have one line coming in, one waiting. We'll go right to Lance because of his exceedingly patient patience. Lance, you're on the mark.
Hey there. Good to be here. Why, anyway, before we get to what I called about to start with, our governor talking about semi-auto rifles. Now, they're used in about 300 murders every year, if you take it. All rifles last year, I think, was like 370. So if we say 300, now, he doesn't have any trouble with allowing individuals that committed 2,000 murders here last year. that's just fine with him. He wants to open up the cities, indeed the state, to let all manner of illegal people come in without vetting, without anything. This doesn't seem quite right, does it?
Well, it's inconsistent, and you see the, remember from last year, the ridiculous video showing Philadelphia Mayor Kenney dancing around. He was so happy he was a sanctuary city. Exactly the cost of a sanctuary city to the people of Philadelphia, the taxpayers of Philadelphia, is interesting. But you know, Governor Wolf is very progressive on a lot of his views, and you know, feeling that illegal aliens are more positive than negative is sort of where his administration seems to be leaning.
Think about it. They treat us to a 9/11 every 18 months. That's what that amounts to, isn't it? Now, if there were invaders that came in here killing that many of our people, you would think that any sane individual would want to do everything to keep them out, would you not?
Be a national emergency.
Yes, it certainly would be.
We don't have our priorities straight, in case you haven't noticed, Lance.
Yeah, I guess it would be a natural emergency, not a manufactured crisis.
Actually, if you look at bricks and bottles, are used more as a weapon to kill folks than the semi-auto rifles are. We have 15,000 murders, roughly.
Okay.
And what? That's what, 2%?
All right. What else you got to say, Lance?
Okay, all right. What I was talking about was the, you know, the shutdown and the whole thing, and I was actually going to get over to what constitutes an emergency. And I would think that, like I said, an outfit that was making a 9/11 every 18 months would consider to be an emergency. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Lance. Stan, next up on the Mark, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, Ben was asking a definition on semi-auto.
Stan's a gunsmith, FFL owner.
What
was
that?
Stan is a gunsmith, FFL owner, maybe a collector, too. Would you call yourself a collector?
No,
okay.
I wouldn't.
Nope, not a collector, okay.
Semi-autos. Well, semi-auto, what it does is when you pull the trigger, the force from the cartridge, whether it's direct recoil or gas taken, bled off from the cartridge, forces the action to open and eject the empty round, and then it feeds a new round in, but it stops at that point. Then the shooter has to pull the trigger once again to make it work. That's semi-auto. As far as a full auto, once you load it and you start pulling the trigger, as long as you hold the trigger back, it'll keep firing, it'll keep emptying and loading rounds in until you stop pulling the trigger. That's the difference.
Okay,
between the
so what is semi-automatic misnomer, meaning you have the basic workings of a gun and then you have automatic?
No, semi-auto means the functioning part of it would be automatic. As far actually the initial loading, well, on both of them it's the same. You have to manually load it. You know, whether you stick a magazine and you let the bolt go, that feeds the first round in. And on both of them, they will not fire. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are certain all full auto guns that will fire as soon as you close the bolt onto a round, because that's the way they're designed. That's called firing from open bolt, because the firing pin is fixed, and as soon as the round is chambered, the firing pin hits the primer and ejects, and then it just starts that cycle over and over until you let up on the trigger and the bolt is held back. On a semi-auto, person inserts the magazine, releases the bolt, and it goes forward and it closes. But until you pull the trigger, it will not go off. And then once you pull the trigger, then whatever force is used, depends on the gun. Some of them use gas. The AR-15 uses gas from the cartridge to cycle the action. On a lot of handguns, it's just the recoil of the, well, it is the recoil, and I shouldn't say that. Well, most of them, it's the recoil from the cartridge that works the slide. The power, the gas pushes the cartridge out of the chamber as the bullet's going down. It unlocks it and pushes it out. But there's no hole in the barrel to let the gas do that. It's just inertia.
So then, a regular single, like a .22, is a regular shot, single shot. So
right.
there's single shot guns. Then
right.
there's automatic guns, and in between the semi-automatic is more towards the automatic than it is the single-shot side.
The basic function is, but it'll only fire once.
Yeah.
Okay, if you pull the trigger, it'll fire and reload itself. What it's doing is it's automatically reloading.
Yes.
And but it doesn't fire.
And my point is, when the term semi-automatic is used, they're making these guns more towards the automatic side than they are the single-shot side. And that's the verbiage, then, that the people will use this. And people automatically move towards the automatic side instead of understanding what exactly semi-automatic means, which gets more down to the single bullet side of a weapon.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's been, that's the news media and all that spreading the lies because of, what they're trying to achieve, which is disarmament of the people. But that's a whole other problem it'll never be solved because you always have people that are trying to take people's freedoms away from them and people fighting to keep it.
All right,
but that's, as far as semi-auto, as long as you're not pulling the trigger, it's not going off. And you could set that gun in the corner fully loaded. And unless somebody touches it, it's never, ever going to hurt anybody.
It's like the brick on the ground, the bat in
exactly.
the closet.
Exactly. As long as nobody touches it with evil intent, that inanimate object
nobody's gonna
will
get
hurt
hurt
no one.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Stan. I always appreciate your call and your viewpoints,
thanks.
Your text. Appreciate that. Let's clear some of the text. We'll start at the bottom. It says, the hypocrisy of the Democrats that voted for border security in the past is disgusting. All the people opposing the wall, I'm assuming, they leave their house door open at night so anyone can walk right in. It has to be so, otherwise, as they are as much a hypocrite as the Dems in Washington. Another listener makes a reference to Tom, who called us, says, hey, Tom, let's build that wall, and if it doesn't work, you'll have something to complain about. But I believe you don't know what will work, and you don't want it to be proven wrong. You don't want to be proven wrong by President Trump. And on the governor's idea of banning semi-automatic rifles in Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf is an anti-gun, anti-freedom leftist, says one of our listeners. And we have a half a dozen emails pending, so let's do those right now. One says this, Mark, if you remember earlier this week, a caller said, it's as if Donald Trump says, this is a national emergency, then declare it, get your funding, and move on, end this shutdown. He is the one for days now. I can, I should, I will, I have the power over and over. And my point is that you call 911 an emergency, you wouldn't expect it to drag on for days or even hours. Timely action, how one would expect an emergency handled. I read on Friday that the president might want to use disaster relief money for Puerto Rico hurricane and California forest fires to help fund the wall. He seems all over the place on seeking funding. Declare your national emergency. Convince the courts if it's real or imagined. And then build the wall. All right, let's take a quick break. You ready to go, buddy? We'll be right back.
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and August, September, October, November, December. Those are the months of the year. What's with making resolutions, whatever they're called, only at the beginning of the year? Grandmom says there are 12 whole months to make changes and that everyone should start simple. She told her friends at her yoga class how simple it is to get their prescription switched to our hometown pharmacy. Then they won't waste hours waiting in line. There's a good revolution. Don't waste time.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today. Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
Did I say revolution? I meant to say resolution. Oh, you heard what I meant to say. I wonder if any of my friends made resolutions. And what's with old blank sign? This kid, what's some new lang sign?
All right, we got a caller waiting. We'll take more comers on the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565.
1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners urges us to contact U.S. Senator Pat Toomey and get him to vote for ending the government shutdown. Says, good morning, I forgot to tell you to call Senator Pat Toomey and tell him to reopen our government at 610-434-1444 to contact Senator Toomey.
No, contact Casey, Senator Casey also.
Right, let him know. Yeah, this is a two-way street. Dan from New Berlin, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Why, you talk, the first caller was talking about the $5 billion. Why, yes, to me that sounds a real fortune, but according appropriating the budget, it's not even peanuts, it's a peanut. I figured out our budget's about $4 trillion every year. Mm-hmm. And I figured if the wall would go over budget, the total wall, I gave it $100 billion. I divided it out, and this comes out to .00025 of the total budget.
And that's at $100 million.
Yep, that's at $100 billion.
So take 5% or 6% of that, and you see where it's at. And again, I say, when all of a sudden these people become fiscally responsible, or want to be, or try to act like they are, I mean, this is the hypocrisy that just runs
total,
deep.
It's a total hypocrisy. You're right, Ben. That is nothing. It's less. Less and less and less of 1% of the total budget for 1 year, and they're making. It's just another, what I always say on this program, it's against Trump. It's because Trump needs that money for the wall. Other than that, if it had been a Democrat in there, we'd have the border security we need. So I just wanted to expose.
Well, I got to disagree with you there. If there was a Democrat in there, there wouldn't be the border security, and we saw it under the Obama administration. We even saw it under the Bush administration, Clinton administration. They have never addressed the issues.
Yeah.
And remember, there's a number of politicians and groups that need some sort of disaster or need some sort of mission that they have to keep hanging their hats on. And when you see these politicians after years and decades, or these groups after years and decades, not having solutions to their problems, then the problem becomes almost a campaign issue that they can then turn a base of people and get votes. So, you know, it's very unfortunate that these solutions, you know, the problems aren't being solved, but they become political fodder for groups to raise money and get reelected. But, you know, after 10, 15, 20 years, does somebody ever say, hold it? Are you ever going to solve this problem? Or are you just going to make a living off of poverty, immigration, whatever the next narrative might be?
Yep, you're right, Ben. And you know, President Trump's the first one that decided to get border security done. And that was talked about by other, even Democrats talked about it over the years. All of them brought it up, but they never got it done. And like you probably said, they didn't intend on getting it done. But now that we have a president that wants to get it done, now it's a whole fiasco over .00025%, far less, like infinitesimal amount, less than 1%. And
well, it's still,
and the Democrats close the government down over it.
But should you use the scale of government to waste $6 billion? You know, I mean,
why is it a waste?
Well, I know if some people argue that it is. I'm just saying.
Yep, that to me, it's not a waste. That's a good investment for practically nothing.
All right, we got a caller waiting.
It's zero, practically a zero investment for great border security. good talking with you. You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate the call. Chris, thanks for waiting. You're on the mark.
It's not great border security.
It won't
but
work,
I called
right?
up about the why who's the blame here? And I have a very hard time seeing why Democrats would be considered having the blame when you look at the situation. He ran on the wall, right? Trump.
Part of it, yeah.
Yeah, had Mexico pay for it, right?
Yeah.
I recall.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Mexico was going to pay for it, of mm-hmm. course, which now he claims he didn't say.
I haven't seen that. I think.
Which is a lie, of course. Well, he did write it down specifically to the Washington Post that Mexico would probably write a check for $5 to $10 billion for the wall. But he did nothing on it for 2 years besides sign an executive order to start building the wall, which was pretty meaningless. And then the House passed, I think, a $15 or $20 billion funding for the wall. And it didn't come up in the Senate because it couldn't be, because McConnell won't put anything on the floor that won't pass or that the president says he will veto.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, going back to your first initial question, you said the wall won't work. Due to why, when you say wall, you're talking barriers.
Well, let's talk about this claim and the history of it, because let's get that settled first. Okay?
You want to talk about
the
history of which?
A lot of experts say the wall won't work.
Mm-hmm. A lot of experts?
Yeah.
Would you say there's a lot of people who say the wall will work, and it's sort of been proven
to
work?
Okay, let's go back to the blame bit.
Well, how about answering that question?
We can balance experts and quotes from different experts, but
let me put out some information that we see where a wall was put in the San Diego area.
Okay, Ben, cut. Let's go back to the history of what happened here.
Okay, the history of what, Chris?
All right, we got a caller waiting, so you got a full minute for a long history. Go ahead, Chris.
How long did Dan talk when I was waiting?
4 minutes, so you got 2 minutes in.
Okay. We say Dan's interesting.
And
we're still trying to figure if you can be interesting, so we'll get there.
Now, come on, Ben, stop it. You got 2 minutes, Chris. Go right ahead.
Okay. The history, the House passed the bill with large funding for the wall. It didn't get on the Senate floor, even though because it wouldn't have passed. Then we have an election.
Okay,
Democrats
so you're talking
pre
2016. You're talking about, and now we have the election in 2016.
2018.
Well,
we have an election.
Okay.
Trump tries to nationalize the election by hyping up the caravan, which is now didn't cause much of a problem at all.
Talk to people in Tijuana.
Not in America.
Well, that's okay, the thing. They kept them over there.
We're interested in America first, right?
Well, they kept them in Tijuana, and it's a huge problem, the caravan, for the people in Mexico.
Okay, see if I can get another sentence or two in before I get interrupted.
Go ahead.
Okay. Then he loses the election. A House gets elected that is against the wall. Then he brings up the wall. Then they reach a compromise with that Trump says he'll pass, he'll sign, and agrees to, and then he reneges on it.
Okay, are you talking about the compromise that was initiated by
$1.6 billion for security?
Yeah, which he never said that was fencing
for the wall.
He said that was not a compromise in their opinion.
He agreed to it before then, and we know he agreed to it because he said he agreed to. He told Mitch McConnell he'd sign it because otherwise Mitch McConnell wouldn't have put it on the floor to be passed.
I believe
it was unanimous by basically, well, a few dissensions on in both houses, but it was 90 to 95% pass. I think it was a voice vote, so actually it's officially goes as a complete vote. But
all right.
Anyway,
all right, wrap it up.
Then what happens? He decides he's going to get his way by shutting down the government.
I think there might be pieces missing there, Chris, because it seems like they were asking.
I don't think there are, Ben.
Well, okay, in my opinion, as you've just stated, your opinion.
And now the major blowback to it is Tom was right on that, is McConnell. Because McConnell won't put the House pass bill on the floor to see whether it will pass or not.
All right, we got you, Chris. Thank you so much for calling in. Very much appreciated.
Interesting.
We have to take a quick break to stay on schedule. Stand by, Al. We'll be right back. Let's see. Somebody's texting us. It says border security should not be a partisan political pawn. It's the constitutional duty of every congressperson and senator who took the oath of office. National security is priority number one job for our national elected officials. It's one of the few things that the Constitution actually gives to the government the power to do. Immigration is the other. Now, those two things go hand in hand. Al, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I called the other week and we were talking about the expenses for being in business, the small businessman incurs, and anybody that's in business. And there's multiple taxes, multiple insurances, equipment, you know, all these things. Let's just stick with the mandatory ones.
So if you're a small business person, you are rich, right?
Just a little bit.
A little rich.
No, you got to keep the cash flowing. That's all you got to do.
Okay.
You never count your beans and just keep the cash flowing. But anyways, you get this cheap labor that's been coming in for all these years. And they come to work, and you don't have all those expenses because they don't have a Social Security number that is valid. And they just lose all those expenses. And this happens on every level. Not just the guys that are out in the fields working, but also all the way up to the heavy equipment operators. I know heavy equipment operators in this town that lost good jobs of $30 an hour, like I said before, where they can send their kids to college, where they can put a savings account on, they can take care of their home, and they can go out and have a little bit of money for to give to the church, and you know, just keep the ball rolling. But they were losing those jobs. They lost those jobs. They were handed over to people that don't even speak the language, couldn't understand the equipment, so they have to modify the equipment so these guys can operate it. And if you're operating a big piece of heavy equipment, you got to get down to bedrock and only go 2 3/4 inches. That's all you better go, because if you go past that in the bedrock, then you're throwing the whole building off. But you know, they're paying for it without the experience. But I'm just saying it affects everybody at every level, and it's been happening all these years. And why do you think that's happened? Because of the money. It's cheap for big businesses to gobble up these people, even if they go get them their Social Security numbers. So they look good.
Well,
they can make it look good.
The part of that is the reform, though, Al, of immigration. And it's reformed from all the way where you have legal, compliant immigration that needs to be looked at, down to the illegal, non-compliant.
Exactly. The whole system's busted.
Yeah, because you got visas for education.
And it's been busted for a long time, and it's because the money is there to keep it busted.
Yeah, and that's the part talked earlier, where you got people who don't want to solve this problem. E-Verify should be...
Because they're corrupt.
Yeah.
Well, anybody that doesn't want to solve this problem is corrupt, and they're making money off of it at human expenses. And now there's about another 15,000 humans getting ready to march toward the U.S. again. That treacherous trip, all the rapes, all the sick children, all the hungry people, the thirsty people, you know, and here they come again. We ought to just set it up down there that they can apply down there, and once you qualify, we'll give you a bus ride. You know, let's do it safe and eliminate the bad guys in the middle.
Well, remember,
and like I keep saying, we are the most generous, and if we could get it straightened out where they would be assets instead of an expense, it would be much better. We could take more. You just got to fix the system, and the system is corrupt because of the money, and that's why these people are holding fast.
Well,
they don't care about humans.
Through all of these decades, why do you think neither the House Republicans or Democrats or the Senate Republicans or Democrats or any president has effectively solved this? What's the disincentive? Why?
Because they go in, they aren't millionaires when they go in, but they're millionaires when they come out. There it is.
There's something to be said for that.
And illegal immigrants help keep that going?
Well,
yes, they do, because the cheap labor makes them that they can, and they do inside trading. They know what's going to happen. Hey, we got a lot of Social Security numbers. We can pull this project off good. Give us the money over here. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes. Nobody does.
No, but you have groups who want to support because they want to bolster government. So when you have people coming in who need government subsidies of some sort, whatever you want to say, meaning education, health care, welfare, you know, pick whatever subsidies you want. So you have groups on that. But then also, you look at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They want to bring in cheap labor, not efficient labor, but cheap labor, because then it helps. So Republicans and Democrats have their dirty paws all over this.
Oh, it's always going to be that way. And, you know, you get somebody in there like President Trump that knows what goes on.
Yeah, and he doesn't
and
need
he's not
the
afraid
monies.
To say it. I think a lot of these guys that are in government and are making these things. Now, I don't want to go into a deep state thing, but I'm sure they threaten you. You go this way if you like your gene pool. I mean, it's not just a little threat.
Well,
you know what I mean? It's a real threat to different people once they become such of a problem.
Yeah, if people
and
don't
they
think
will
that...
go do that because we got a deep, deep, dark secret, you know, and it's just the greed. That's what it is.
No, you look at the establishments and you see this. You have an outsider, be it John Doe, Jane Doe, it happens to be Donald J. Trump as president, who now can start to pull back the curtain, and it's showing that there's some people that aren't completely dressed on both sides of the aisle. And the other part is, when can you go, you know, it must be great to be a politician in a lot of degrees. When can you go in with X number with compensation and your wealth is X, and you come out after 12-16 years with X, Y, and Z, and you look at both Democrats and Republicans and what their net worth is when they went into the House compared to when they come out. So there is more to this equation than meets the eye.
Well, it's the whole equation.
Thank you, Al, for calling in.
Yep, you're welcome.
Appreciate that. We have open phones right now, 1-800-795-9565. We got a oodle of emails pending, so we'll sift through those. But all four lines are now open, 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. One of our listeners sends us a note, says, please tell some of your ill-informed listeners and callers that President Trump is actually stronger in the House now, because many Republicans who retired or quit were never Trumpers anyway.
And there's something to be said for that. And one of the things about the election, midterm elections, you know, things change, you see the history. But also, too, part of the situation with the Republicans was there was 45 incumbents that retired or didn't run for reelection, however you want to define retirement. Now, that is hard to overcome in a lot of regards. And also, too, it was a midterm election with a Republican president in, that history shows that changes. And they still only won 40 seats compared to the 60-some and the 50-somes with other administrations that were lost. So it is interesting in the House. Again, this administration is probably most likely more powerful than before. However, they are in the minority, so that dilutes any real power
that
they have.
All right, back to the emails. One of our listeners, Bob, says, good morning. In my opinion, Donald Trump is a bully. He was probably always a big bully. There's no way he will legally declare a national emergency. Those funds are not for a wall. The people coming here are going through the legal process there at the border, as seen yesterday when Trump was there. There was a governor there in Texas, asked about all the murders, and he said there were no murders last year. Donald Trump walked out of those negotiating meetings on his own. He would have had $1.6 trillion, or $1.6 trillion
$1.6 billion if he had stayed. He's putting extra stress on already stressed federal workers not getting paid. Trump advisors told them to have a yard sale, house sit, walk dogs, anything, sell anything they can, but keep going to work without pay. He will not get reelected come 2020. Also, thanks for not inspecting our food. Thanks for using animals, dogs for experimental purposes. I can't wait to vote, says thanks, Bob. And another listener says, give me a break. We have crumbling infrastructure and an antiquated power grid, and President Trump wants to spend billions on a wall that's been proven to be a total waste, given all the available technology and decrease in aliens. Fact, the drugs are coming through ports of entry, not at the border. This ridiculous president now wants us taxpayers to squander billions of dollars on a campaign promise he used to rev up his base. It makes no sense whatsoever. Mississippi alone has 33 bridges throughout the state closed due to unsafe structures. This is just one dangerous fact regarding the infrastructure that we face, and the focus is on building an antiquated wall instead of safe bridges. I hope somebody soon puts the brakes on this ridiculous wall rhetoric and focuses on what needs to make America safe and bring our infrastructure into the 21st century. Oh, yeah, let's not forget that Mexico was going to pay for Trump's folly, not us taxpayers.
Yeah, it could be.
We'll take a... go ahead.
But the email has various parts of the information there that can be disputed, and quite easily when you talk about particularly drugs coming across the border and where points of entry was. And yesterday, the president was at a point of entry. So, yes, people try to come in legally there. You know, go to the other parts, and you see where barriers create problems. Particularly look at CNN Jim Acosta's somewhat of a strange video where he was where a barrier was, and, geez, there was nobody trying to come through that barrier. Yes, they go like water where you can get in the easiest.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We do have about 9 minutes left. We got some words to get in and a quick break, and then we got callers standing by. So hold on, Harry. The Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars. That's one of their main deals. They get a lot of pre-owned vehicles of various species there, but they all have a 200-point check, and they are ready to go. They are a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks, meaning that if you got a vehicle that ain't working, they can fix it. It's just that simple. They also got a body shop. They can bring it up to full shinola, and they can fix anything. They got a master towing service, whether you got a little tiny smart car that needs to be towed or a great big 18-wheeler. Well, I guess the tractors don't have 18 wheels, but they can tow it no matter what. Some of those tow trucks are so big, they really look like more of a crane. But I tell you what, they got it all at the Sunbury Motor Company. Their website's fully functional, so any vehicle that's for sale is plainly on display there. They got online specials. They got nitrogen. They'll pump you up with nitrogen, Ben. It'll make you lighter and a happier person, although you're pretty happy as it is.
Well, Friday, sounds like a visit to the dentist office.
That's true. That's nitrous. Different chemical equation. But I'll tell you what. Yeah, you get pure N for your tires and N2O for, I think, or maybe NO2 for your dentist. But that's all separate. All right. SunburyMotors.com, their website. We'll be right back.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the brand new Hyundai you deserve with savings of over $7,000. Buy a $25,000 2018 Santa Fe for only $18,259. That's a savings of over $7,000. A 2018 Hyundai Elantra is discounted to an unbelievable $14,810. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has a 2018 Santa Fe Sport that was $34,890 and now only $28,840. Hyundai comes with America's best 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. No matter what size SUV you're looking for, Sunbury Motors has it. 2019 Hyundai Konas, only $23,210. 2019 Hyundai Tucson, only $26,110. 2019 Santa Fes, only $26,775. And the 2019 Santa Fe XL starts under $30,000. Now is the time to get the new Hyundai you deserve. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
All right, this is the lightning round. We'll start out with Harry, who's on hold. Go right ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. I am one of those people. I am somewhat in favor of the wall, but it's not a burning passion for me. I think there's other issues that are more important. But the thing that bothers me with the wall is we are not fighting for it or against it for any ideology other than partisanship. If the Democrats came up with it, the Republicans would be fighting against it. Now, since Trump came up with it, the Democrats are fighting against it. And that's, it's kind of a microcosm of everything that happens in the fact that we don't govern. We rule by sound bites and what will make us look good in constituents' eyes and in the media's eyes. And in that respect, that's why nothing gets done down there. You're talking about the fact that there are, I know I've said this a million times, there are no elected leaders, there are only elected officials. And it doesn't matter whether it's state, local, or federal, it doesn't matter. But the biggest issue I have with the fight against the wall is the fact that if I climb a fence and come in onto your property and into your house, I'm going to be arrested at the very least for trespassing, probably breaking and entering, and now we don't have a problem with somebody doing that from another country doing that into ours. And that dichotomy does not come together for me.
Yeah, the principle of it is what you're talking about, and as a caller earlier said, it's hard not, you know, when you don't have borders, it's hard to perceive what type of country do you have, because other countries have borders and they enforce their borders for the most part. When I say that, you're talking about sovereign countries
and
in areas where you have to have some rules to go by, and for some reason immigration has gotten out of control. And remember, there was only specific immigration in this country from, I think, 1923-24 to 1964. Basic immigration was stopped. Now, there was areas where they declared people could come in, so that was for a simulation. And I talked to Mark earlier, and Harry, if you haven't been to the border and you haven't seen what happens, or you haven't talked to school officials on border districts and city officials on what the problem of immigration puts on the services of your municipality or community, it's hard for some people to understand that this is a crisis, and it's a bigger crisis than people realize.
You're right. I have some friends who have lived in Arizona for years, and it's choking that state. It's absolutely choking them in many areas.
All right, we got you, Harry. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Appreciate that. One of our listeners sends us a text. When and where has it been proven that walls along the border don't work?
Interesting.
All right. Yeah, let's answer that on Monday. Joe McGranahan and Steve Kushiloff will be here on Monday. Chris, you're on the mark. You get the last minute.
Yeah, well, I was going to call up and agree with Ben on something, but then he had to go and say something I disagree with, too. But so I'll try to do the disagreement first.
I wouldn't want to disappoint you.
About the representative only being 40 and then not being a big win because it was 50 or 60, most presidents who get elected carry several House seats with them, and Trump lost 6 or 10 or something like that.
Yeah,
so that's another 12
not
or 20.
Not as big as winning as they
you
want
could
to say.
Add to it compared to normal. Then what I agree with you about is if you were really serious about illegal workers, you would pass an e-verify system mm-hmm. that worked that would catch people like Trump.
Exactly. Well,
Trump and everybody. But Trump hasn't done anything about it.
All right.
Why
thank
not?
You so much.
Because he makes money off it.
Oh, he makes money off it. Okay, there we go. That's the real reason.
Yeah.
That's why the House and the Senate will never do anything, because they're making a fortune on illegal immigrants.
How can you and I get a piece of that?
I think we do. The high tide raises all ships. Thank you so much, Ben.
Yep, we'll see you next Friday.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury WKOK News. Time, it is 10 o'clock.